Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Heavenly Father, we just come before you to praise your holy name. Lord, we take so much for granted in our lives. We have been free of war on our home front, but not all have. Today we're going to hear from a wonderful family from the Ukraine. Help us to just pray for them right now, because they're a little bit nervous. I thank you for the opportunity of getting to know them, and I pray as they leave and move this next week that you will put other people in their path. In Jesus' name, amen. I had the wonderful opportunity of getting to know them by a friend that used to live here, Anna Johnson. I don't know if you know her. Mary and Paul Johnson were her parents. And she called and said, "Linda, I want you to go and meet a family that is living in Brookhaven." And she just told me that they were from the Ukraine and were able to get out. So it's interesting how things can come about. Faith knew the lady that they were living with. And so that paved the path for us to start a relationship. And now I'm just going to turn it over to, I'm not going to pronounce her name exactly right. She will correct me. Elena. That right? Okay. And she will introduce all the others. Now, her husband cannot speak back to you in English, but he knows a lot of what we're saying. And each one of them will come and be introduced by Elena. Okay, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, we are very thankful that you all came today to listen to our story, which we want to share, because the more people know the story, I think the more people know the truth. I think 6 months ago, I wasn't even expecting to stay here on other continent telling all these things, but that's how it happened. So let me introduce myself. I'm Olena. I'm 42. I'm Ukrainian. I used to work in a travel agency in a client service department, working with the VIP clients for tailor-made tours. And before that, I was working as a client service manager for a very big advertisement digital agency in Kyiv, in the capital of Ukraine. This is my husband, Sasha. He's 45. He worked for the state enterprise doing all the pipeline system for the water supplies in Kyiv and Kyiv region. He was the financial director. He has three university degrees, Ukrainian university degrees, which he right now cannot use here because he doesn't speak English, but he is learning English very hard. It's not easy when you are not 12 years old, I can tell you. But he is doing his best, and I really hope that he will have success in this. And actually, the First Baptist Church helped a lot because there are English classes every Wednesday for foreigners, and Sasha is attending these classes. And also he has a twice a week online English class from a community college. We will plan to move in a week probably, because we are staying with the family of my friend who I met when I was an exchange student in 1995, and they are moving to Georgia, to Athens, and we will move with them. We don't know anyone there. We will have to make new connections, new friends. I would really be happy if you know somebody in Athens, so maybe you can connect us. Just think about somebody. It may be because of these connections we are here. So these are my children. They speak English because in Ukrainian schools children start learning foreign language since the first grade. So they are in seventh grade right now. For 6 years they've been learning English language, so they can probably introduce themselves. They are twins, actually. Yeah.
We are twins. We are 12. My name is Daniel. I'm 12 years old, and I like basketball very much and math. Yeah, that's I think all about me.
I'm Mariana. I'm 12 years old. I'm older in 1 minute than my brother. We are learning. We can speak Ukrainian, Russian, English, and we are learning German.
Yeah. Yeah, they started to learn German not long ago when we were in Austria, in Vienna. We spent 3 months there after we escaped from Ukraine, and they went to local school, and the language was German, so they had to start learning German language. And when we came here, they decided to continue because that's a good knowledge to know as many foreign languages as you can. So now they are having 2 online classes per week with their teacher of German. So they continue learning English, and also they learn German now. And I think that's not a that's not a bad idea. So yeah. So that's very short. Our introduction about our family. Kids, if you don't mind, maybe they can go and sit because they're a little bit shy. Sasha also, he wanted to say some words and we'll translate.
Последние полгода научили меня тем вещам, которые до этого я про них понимал, но никогда на них не обращался на внимание.
Last 6 months have taught me some things that I've never been ever thinking before in my life. I never paid attention to these things.
Первая вещь – это ценить то, что имеешь, потому что действительно мы начинаем ценить какие-то вещи только после того, когда мы их потеряем.
The first thing which I learned is to value what you have, because we realize this only after we lose this.
Вторая вещь, не бояться ничего.
The second thing is don't be afraid of anything.
Для себя я понял, не страшно начинать жизнь в 45.
For myself, I realize that it's not scary, it's not, I'm not afraid to start new life at 45.
И третья вещь, это действительно любить своих окружающих, любить своих родных.
And the third thing is to love your family, love your beloved ones and people who are your truly friends and who surround you.
И ценить эту любовь, и каждый день влюбляться в свою женщину, как в первый раз.
And to value this love and fall in love with the woman who's next to him every single day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sasha. Thank you very much. I don't know if many of you know about Ukraine. What is Ukraine? Where is it? Just maybe some few things. I will tell you very briefly, and I would like to share a video with you. It's not a long video, just some views of our country, just to take, to understand where we lived, what is our motherland. Ukraine is in Europe. It's located in the eastern part of Europe. It has a border with Russia, with Belarus, the former Soviet USSR Republic, Moldova, and also Poland and Slovakia, Hungary and Romania. Yes, thank you, Sasha. Ukraine is not a small country. It's big. It's actually it's number 42, if I'm right, in the whole world by its size. To explain how big it is, it's about the size of state of Texas. That's the country. It has 49 million, is that right? 49 million population. Unfortunately, right now it's less because about 6 million people escaped to European countries. They are too afraid, same as our family. We, after all we've been through, we also escaped from Ukraine. It's famous for its agriculture. It's one of the most biggest, one of the biggest producers of wheat, and also it has a lot of iron. That's what it's famous actually for. Not some, a lot of other things. Ukraine is an old country. It has a big culture, and it's really beautiful. And maybe please turn on this video right now, so you can just see it's here, and it also on the other screen over there.
We should check if it has the sound. Oh, okay, now it has. Thank you. It has a sea and mountains. We have four seasons. We have all four seasons. We have a strong winter, hot summer, very nice autumn and spring. It has a lot of universities, a very good education system. It's a young country because it became independent in 1991. It's only 31 years old, and it's still improving and developing. Churches look strong Olympic teams for different types of Olympic sports. We have a very strong athletes. Thank you very much. Now you can understand what country I will be
talking about. So we can stop it, probably put it on the pause. Yeah, let's stay on this first photo. And I'll very briefly tell you about this day, because it was just a normal day. It was February 24. Kids were planning to go to school. My husband was planning to go to work. And as usually, my alarm was set at 6:30 in the morning to get up and get the kids ready for school. I woke up a little bit earlier, and I had I always have a few minutes to go through the news on my phone, what was going on. So I started reading the news, and it was saying that Kyiv got bombed, Kyiv, our capital, and we live just about 10 miles from Kyiv in a suburb, in a very nice city called Bucha. It's in the forest, very beautiful, small town with nice neighborhoods. And then I heard something, and then I saw some text messages in parents' chats from the school that there will be no school today, just everybody stay at home, we don't know what's going on. I woke my husband and I told him, Sasha, it seems like the war started. And he looked at me, he was still sleepy. What are you talking about? And I said, why don't you go right now, just in case of something happened, get the full tank of gas in our car and try to get some cash from the ATM machine, because I didn't know what to do. I was not prepared for this. So he got up, he went. By this time, there were huge lines for several miles, lines to the gas stations of cars. He spent there actually several hours, but he finally got the gas. While he was there, I told the kids to help me, because we had basement in our house. We lived in a house. It was a big two-story house with a full furnished basement. So I told the kids, let's go and take the mattresses and pillows and the bedding downstairs, because I did not know how long will it take. I was thinking maybe a day or two, and so they helped me. This room, it doesn't have windows, so I decided to put it there. It has very strong, thick walls and no windows, so we put all the mattresses there on the floor. And then Sasha called me and said that there is one more family who live in a condo, and they don't have a place to hide. And I told, why don't you ask them to come and stay with us for this time? So they came. They had a seven-year-old daughter. She is on the photo on the right. Mariana, my daughter, is in the middle, and Danielle. And also my brother and his girlfriend were staying with us. So we had, how many of us? 9 in total. We had 9 people, and we had 2 dogs, 2 cats, and a guinea pig. 3 cats. Yeah. So they all came. We had enough food. That was very good. So we were thinking to stay the night and then try to leave on the next day, because on the very first day we thought it would maybe end. We were watching the news all the time, and then we heard terrible sounds of explosions just near our house, and we realized that they began to occupy our town from the very first day. And our house was in this part of the town where they were. I saw the helicopters, and they were jumping from the helicopters and parachutes, and they were not Ukrainians. By this time, everybody on the news was saying that Russia attacked Ukraine. And we heard all this terrible bombing and explosions and everything from the very first day. On the second day, I did not sleep this night. Actually, I did not sleep for 72 hours. I just could not go to sleep. I was too afraid that the bomb will get into our house. I was crying and shaking. I just couldn't do anything with myself. This was so stressful for me, and I was not prepared, and I just didn't know how to react, what to do. I was calling everybody, and they were like, oh, okay, you just stay calm, everything will be fine. And then in the morning, we heard this terrible sound. It was like very, very strong sound. And we looked in the window, and there was a Russian tank standing next to our house. And then it started shooting. And this sound, it was like a wave going inside the house. And we had the chandelier, which parts of it just started falling on the floor, and the whole house was shaking. I cannot explain this. I still remember this sound and this feeling and how frightened we all of us were. And then it went away, the tank, and they started shooting. By now, I can tell you that my children, they can differ the sounds of weapon. They can say, Mama, this is a gun, this is a rocket gun, this is a tank. I don't think that it's normal for a child of 12 years old to know these sounds. And so we realized that we could not go anywhere because Russians were shooting all civilians who were trying to escape by cars. They were just shooting. There were a lot of cars with people who were shot. We stayed for 14 days in the basement. On about third or fourth day, they turned off the electricity. And we did not have electricity, water, gas. We did not have normal cell phone connection because they destroyed all the antennas in the area. And to get in touch with somebody, I had to go upstairs on the second floor and hold my phone like that to catch some signal and to call to know the news, because we did not know what was going on. By this time, they were also bombing other cities and places. We had a generator outside in our yard, but it was so loud, and we were afraid to attract them. So we were turning it on just for hour or two to charge our phones, and that's it. My husband was burning a fire in the yard to get water boiled so we could have some tea. I had a lot of these thermal cups. I was putting the water to keep it hot as long as possible. We were wearing jackets because it was cold. It was February. And as I said before, winters in Ukraine are strong and cold. So there is a... Dania, may I tell this story about sugar? So this is just a little example of a sacrifice of a child. He had a collection of this, you know, this little sugars in a paper, which you can get in a cafe, in a restaurant, or a gas station. So every place where my son was going, he was taking one of it and keeping it as his collection. In every country he's been, in every cafe and restaurant, he had a huge box of those sugars, actually. So because we were drinking so much tea to get warm, one day I realized that I ran out of sugar. And he came and brought his box. And he told me, Mama, you can use it. I don't need it anymore. And I knew how precious it was for him, but he knew that it was... Sorry. that it was too important to do something to help. Now he starts his new collection. Yeah, he has a lot by now. Yeah, everybody keeps bringing him some, you know, to give. So now the collection is new and it's growing. But at this moment, yes, it was his help. That's how he could help. One day, I woke up in the morning, went upstairs as usually to catch some connection, to call to somebody, and I was lucky to call my husband's father, and he told me, they say in the news that there will be a green corridor for Bucha. You should go immediately to the main square. In 20 minutes, there will be evacuation. Just go. Just grab whatever you can and go. We had 3 cars. We had to write the word children and to stick it to our windows. And I had to, you know, what I had. But this time, I packed a little suitcase with some documents and some first, like, things that you may need for the first time being outside. So we had this little suitcase and just some of our clothes, because I was still hoping that we will come back soon. That, how can we not come back? That's our house. That's our home. Kids never left it since they were born. They spent all their lives there. So I didn't have enough time to take more stuff with us. So we are taking everything, kids, in such a hurry, and we go to the main square. So maybe switch to another slide, please. Yeah, this is the day. This is our food, which we grilled outside. Yeah, we had some. Yeah, that's what I said. We had food. Yeah, hopefully it was good. And this is Mariana on the left wearing her jacket because it was cold. Little Polina in the middle and Danielle. This is the photo. I don't have a lot of photos. I could not take photos. It was in my head. It was so ridiculous. How can I take a photo of us suffering? How? I just could not. That's why, sorry, but I that's not a lot of that I can show you during this time. And maybe show another slide, please. Yes, so we came to the main square. You can see that's not our car, but our car looked pretty much the same. So these people, they just wrote the word children in Russian, for Russians to understand what is written. But actually, sometimes it did not help. There were civilian cars with the words children, and they were still shooting on those cars who were trying to pass. And one more short story about my daughter, if it's okay, I will tell it. So we had to, we did not know this, but when we came to the main square, they told us that we have to tie a white cloth also to the car. Like you can see it on this red car. I did not have any white clothes with me, but Mariana, she took her pillow with her. And it has this, it had this pillowcase. It was white with little green cactuses on it. And this was her favorite one. And I asked her, Mariana, please, may I take this pillowcase because I need it? And of course, I could tell that she didn't want to really give it, but she said, yes, Mom, of course you can have it. So I had to tear it in parts and to tie it to mirrors of our car. And there were hundreds of cars, thousands of people without cars, just citizens without cars, with children, waiting for the buses of Red Cross to come and rescue them. And we all were waiting there for 5 hours. 5 часов, да, мы ждали? 5 hours, because Russians did not confirm They just did not confirm. And by this time, they were shooting all the time. It was so scary. This was my first day when I got out of the basement. When we were going to the main square, I could not believe my eyes because there were just burned cars, destroyed buildings. We had a big grocery store. It was completely bombed and destroyed. It looked like if you are watching a movie about apocalypse, yes, and like everything is destroyed and black and gray color. That's exactly what I saw, and I just could not believe my eyes because my town, it was so beautiful, it was so, you know, and now it was all ruined. And we were standing waiting there on this square, and I was so afraid because the shooting did not stop. And then, after 5 hours, there was some official man who came and said, well, they did not confirm the green corridor, so you all should go home. There will be no evacuation on that day. People didn't want to go. They were still standing because that was their hope. This was the first try to evacuate. And I asked my husband, should we go back home? Because I was so afraid of everything, of all those sounds, I wanted, you know, just to hide somewhere. And he told me, you know, I have a feeling that we should try to escape today, that we should not go back home. I said, why? Let's go. No, let's try. And here comes a Russian soldier. And my husband goes to that soldier and asks him, if we go by car, would you shoot us? And he looked at him and said, well, if there will be 3 or 4 cars, we will shoot probably. If there will be more cars, we may not shoot. You may try. And my husband came to other drivers, to other people with cars, and offered them to go together. And we got 200 cars going who decided to risk. We were moving very, very slowly. And if you can see, there is a... Да. Sorry. Yeah, Sasha was the... Yeah, so there were 2 roads to go. One official road for the buses, which were supposed to come but never came on that day, and the other road was different through the woods. We went, Sasha, my husband said to go on this, to use this different road. And those who tried to go on the official road, they all were shot. And if you can see on this building and people standing there, thousands of them, when we were passing by those people and I looked at them in their eyes, they were so desperate. I wish I could take all of them with me, but I just could not. Our friend Dima, who was staying with us in the basement, he took in his car a family with a newborn baby. So this lady, she just delivered in this, like a couple of days ago. So she had this newborn baby. And they asked him, thank you so much. Could you please take us in your car? And this, he said, of course, yes. So we went very slowly with our flashlights on. We had to go to pass through 3 Russian block posts. And there was, the road was going through the woods, and you should turn to the left. And our friend Dima, the one who took the couple with the newborn baby, and he also had his wife and his 7-year-old daughter in this car, he was a little bit behind, and he did not know this way. So we turned to the left, and then I see that Dima is turning to the right. And at this very moment, this was, I'm talking about it right now slowly, but if you can imagine, it happened like in 2 seconds. It was very, very quickly. There is a Russian big tank and Russian soldiers sitting on the top of it. It was not just a machine gun, it was a huge rocket gun. And at this very moment, this soldier, he sees that all cars are turning to the left and the one car is turning to the right. He gets this rocket gun and was ready to shoot. And we stopped. We started screaming, stop, please, don't shoot. Don't do it. This is our friend. He did not know where to go. Please, please, can we go get him back? And he said, okay, you can go, but your wife and your children should stay here. And I and my children, with our hands up, had to get out of the car. And Sasha went to get Dima. And that moment, I did not know if he would come back. If he would not come back, what would they do to us? You know, these were the most scareful, terrible seconds of my life, probably. Standing next to a lot of soldiers with weapon, with my children, not knowing what will be in the next few seconds. But then suddenly I saw Sasha, and I saw Dima's car also following him. They let us get into the car and continue our way there. On the second block post, they were searching all the cars. Everything, like you had to step out the car, they were searching everywhere. They even we had this cat toilet with us. They looked even there. I don't know what they were looking for in the cat toilet, but still. So they were searching phones. They made you to unlock the phone, and they were reading all the text messages. Because they were looking for some messages about their location. They were thinking maybe someone will write to somebody their Russians' locations. Fortunately, we were not texting to anyone because we did not have internet all this time. So they just searched the phones, they gave it back to us. And after that, we finally... it takes about maybe 20 minutes to get to Kiev, but we, how many hours, Sasha? 5 hours. 5 hours of not knowing if you escape or not. So finally we got to Ukrainian part of Ukraine. It's terrible to say that. Yeah, and we went to my husband's parents' house. We spent a couple of days there. We did not know what to do because our town still was under occupation. And we took a very difficult decision for our family, for me and children, to go to Austria, to Vienna, to stay with my friend Lena and her family. And Sasha, by that time, he could not cross the border. He had to stay. Can you please show us? This is the photo. Well, we were trying to smile, but we were crying. And this is the photo of us saying goodbye to Sasha. And I was looking at him, and I was like, Sasha, promise me, will we see you again? Will we meet? I never been separated from my husband for 19 years, never in my life. And now I had to go somewhere to other country. He was the head of everything in our family. And now I had to do everything by myself, and I was so lost. And he said, yes, of course we will meet. But then he told me that after he told me that when he was saying this, actually he was not sure if we will meet. So he took us to the border
and we went to Austria. Bucha was under occupation for until April. I don't want to tell you in details what they were doing to the people, but I will tell you what happened on the next day after we escaped. On the next day after we escaped, one of our neighbors, he was hiding in his house, and he also was able to catch some cell phone connection, and he called Sasha, and he said, "Sasha, there was a Russian tank. It got into your yard, broke the gates, the garage gates. Russians broke the windows, got inside our house. They were searching for people who might hide there. They did not find anyone. Then they got all the neighbors on the street, took the men with them, left only old ladies. They did not touch the old ladies, but they took all the men. After Russians left Bucha in April, there were several mass graves found. And all these neighbors were found in these mass graves. And now, when I just think about what if we would come back on that day, and they would come on the next day, then probably I would not be standing here and telling this story. And I'm so grateful to my husband for having this feeling of trying to escape on this day and not to coming back home. One of our neighbors was found just last week because he was missing all this time. They could not find him, and then they found one more mass grave in next village to our town, and they sent Sasha photos. I will not show you these photos, but one photo was of legs in tennis shoes, and the other photo was a photo of glasses, asking, "Sasha, may this be Alexei glasses and shoes?" Yes, it was him. Yeah. So, after Russians left Bucha, there were a lot of bodies found of raped women and children, dead bodies. I don't know how, what a cruel being should it be to do this to innocent children. I just cannot even imagine this. After Sasha came back to Bucha, he went to our house. It was not destroyed, but it was a complete mess inside. Also, when Russians were leaving Bucha, they left little mines in the houses and apartments of people. And also think about how cruel a human being can be to hide a little mine in a soft toy in a child's room. Or in the fridge, if you open it, it will explode. So they were fighting not with military, and they were trying to destroy just the civilian people, just to erase our nation. That's what they're trying to steal. So Sasha had to take some special person who is, I don't know the word when the military is searching for all those mines. Yeah, you can show the next one, please. Oh yeah, this is also on the border. And yeah, Mariana and Dania. This is one of the houses of our friend
This is our neighbor across the street. The rocket got into his roof. This is Sasha. That's how streets looked like, just with rockets. It's ridiculous. And the next one, please. And yeah, so this is in our yard. Sasha and his friends, and my brother is on the left in the black shirt. So they were helping, doing a lot of volunteer work. They were doing this metal cords for army. So they were connecting this wooden desks with this metal things. I don't know how to call it. So they were helping a lot, as much as they could. Sasha was also helping as long as he was working for a water supply company. Everything was destroyed, so they were restoring all these things because people needed water in their houses. Sasha was helping this all. He was not paid for this job. They just didn't pay him salary at all. But he still was doing this because how can you not help? Of course you will. He cleaned everything in the house, but he never told me what he saw in this house, what he found, but he told me that he would never want to live in this house again, anymore. It was not, you know, I don't know this word, it's when something is very, your personal is very sacred to you, very dear to yourself, and then they just, you know, stepped on it with their dirty feet, and it's not yours anymore as it used to be. If I'm explaining it right, that was the feeling. That's the photo. That's the happiest day in our life. I will tell you briefly how it happened. Me and kids, we were staying in Vienna, in Austria. Kids went to the local school. But then we found out, I told you that I was an exchange student in 1995 in Arkansas, in Little Rock, and I met Kelly Davis there, and she's very communicative, so on my first day of school, I was so afraid and so shy, and she was the one who came to me, hello, let me show you around everything, and she stayed in touch with me for all those years. She was the one who found out that there is a program for Ukrainians. It's called Uniting for Ukraine, and she offered us to participate in this program and to come here and to stay with her and her family. We made all the paperwork. She and her family, they helped us to buy the tickets, and we flew to the United States. And my husband, by doing all this volunteering work and everything, he was able to do the paperwork and to cross the border. And I was begging him, Sasha, please wait, stay in Europe, don't come back. We will try to make the paperwork for you so you will be able to reunite with us. And we were successful in this, and he was approved. And he flew to us. So me and children, we came on July 2nd, and Sasha came on July 22nd. And these are the happiest pictures in Jackson Airport with us meeting Sasha after not seeing him for such a long time. And I just could not believe that you can still hug him and
touch his hair. Yeah, and it was unbelievable. And he said very right words that just, you know, we should love and our beloved ones, not forget about them every single day, because there may be not other day. So now, family, all of us are together here. We are moving to another state because we still don't have work permits. We applied for work permits. We don't want to live on benefits for all our time here. Not that's not the way Ukrainians are. Ukrainians, they are very hardworking. So we applied for work permits and we are waiting for the work permits to be issued. And as soon as they will be issued, we will start working. We will find a job, because even though Sasha has 3 university degrees, he has, as we call in Ukraine, golden hands. He can do everything with his hands. He can fix, he can paint, he can, do all the wooden work, everything. So he will be fine. I'm sure he will find a job. And me too, I can do a lot of things. So we are waiting for work permits to be issued. For now, we are traveling with my friend's family together, because we are staying with them. We are not able to get any money from Ukraine because it's all blocked. And also we invested almost all our money in our house because we didn't want it to be credit from the bank. So we just paid it off. And now we cannot sell it because it's a war in Ukraine and it's impossible. I don't know what our future will be. A lot of people ask me, so what plans do you have? What plans for the next years? And unfortunately, I cannot answer, because I'm a person who likes the long-term planning, but I cannot do it right now. And there is a very, very short video, just 1.5 minutes. I want you to see our town before the war and after what happened. Maybe please turn on this video. And that's almost it, yeah. So it's a little town in the suburb of Kyiv called Bucha. Thank you for...